Before my wife and I got married nearly 12 years ago, someone much older and wiser than me, my father, gave me some advice. Son, the secret to a happy marriage. This is what my father told me. What's hers is mine, and what's mine's my own. He was joking, of course, which was a good thing, because I had virtually nothing and Beth had even less. But, you know, although that saying was meant humorously, in fact for many people it's painfully close to the truth. More and more people sadly approach marriage with a desire to keep much of their individuality. What's mine is my own, they say. Apparently fewer and fewer couples, married couples, keep joint bank accounts, for example. But I'm not really interested in personal finances this morning. The reason I mentioned that saying that my father passed down to me is because there is a verse in the Bible that I do want to speak about this morning. And it says something very similar. But importantly, I hope you'll notice, very, very different. Now, although that reading, wonderful reading that we had from Romans 3, I actually want to speak about a verse that is found in the Old Testament, and in the book of the Song of Songs. That's a book which is essentially a love poem. It's about a blossoming relationship between a king and his beloved bride. But it's a poem which ultimately points us to our Lord Jesus Christ and of his wonderful love for us. And it tells us of the wonderful relationship we can have with him when we trust and follow him. And so in that poem, the Song of Songs, and chapter 2, verse 16, we read these words, which are said by the beloved as she contemplates the relationship she now has with the king. She says this: "My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his." It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of what marriage is supposed to truly be about, but more gloriously than that, it's a wonderful statement about what it means to be a Christian. Just as in a marriage, a husband and wife become one and they belong to each other, so in the good news of Christianity, when a person comes to trust in the Lord Jesus, he or she can say, "He is mine, and I am his." Today, as we've said, is a special day. It's a special day for Dave, isn't it? He's given testimony of his faith in the Lord Jesus. He's gone through the waters of baptism. He's declared that he belongs to Jesus. Praise God for that. I want to tell you about another man who discovered the true beauty of what it is to be a Christian. 501 years ago, there was a monumental event that took place in Germany. An event that kick-started the Reformation. A German monk named Martin Luther discovered that the medieval church, the church in his day, well, it had lost sight of what God said, what God's word taught about the most fundamental question of all. How can I be right with God? That's what our reading from Romans 3 was all about, wasn't it? How can I be made right with God? And Martin Luther realised that what the message of the church of the day was not the good news of the Bible. And Luther famously used this verse from the Song of Songs, "My beloved is mine and I am his." He used this verse to describe the true beauty and glory of what it means to be a Christian. That's what I want to do this morning too. I want to do it for two reasons. First, because there are many, many people here who have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus. And you know what it is to belong to him. And I want this morning to encourage you. This verse from the Song of Songs, this verse encourages you, friends. "My beloved is mine, and I am his." I want to encourage you this morning as we contemplate this morning all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, and who we are in him. But secondly, I know that there are also several here who do not yet know Jesus as their personal saviour. You may not really have considered for yourself the message of Jesus. And this morning I want to challenge you. Challenge you to be thinking. To consider what you are missing because you don't know Jesus. Now, do you want the good news or the bad news? And wonderfully, I'm not talking about Brexit. Good news or the bad news? How would you normally answer that question? Some people, well, they always ask for the good news. Others always go for the bad news. That's me, always the bad news first, because then things can only get better. But the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's some bad news. But that the message of Jesus truly is good news. In fact, it's the best news, the most important news the world can possibly hear. And Jesus is such good news when you realise that actually the bad news is really bad. Do you remember that reading from Romans 3 a moment ago? God's word tells us something very plainly. It tells us the bad news. It makes no, doesn't mince its words, the Bible. There is no one righteous. Not even one. All have turned away. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore no one can be declared righteous in God's sight. And if you ask me, that's a problem. It's a problem greater than any other that you or I will ever face. It's a problem greater than the greatest problems that this world faces. It's bigger than famine and disease and natural disasters. And yes, it's bigger than Brexit. It's the problem of sin. That we humans, by nature, are sinful. That word sin, of course, it is not a very fashionable word these days, is it? My experience is, though, that it's a word that is greatly misunderstood. Many think that sin is doing things that, for example, break the Ten Commandments. Those things definitely are sin. Murder, theft, adultery, that kind of thing. They definitely are sin, but some people think, well, I haven't done those, so I must be okay. What the Bible says about sin is, well, that can't apply to me. Well, that passage in Romans 3 makes it clear, doesn't it? Sin is actually an attitude of the heart. Sin is rebellion against God. Those wrong things that we do and say and even think, they're the symptoms of the disease of our hearts. Those are the symptoms that we've rebelled against God. We've chosen to live life our own way. And the problem arises because our sin means that we cannot have a relationship with God because we're unrighteous and he's righteous. We're sinful and he's holy. Sin is the barrier between us and God. It's a barrier we simply cannot move ourselves. We cannot overcome the barrier, Romans said, because no matter how good we might try to be, we'll never be completely righteous. But not only does God say that sin is a barrier between us and him, he says that sin must be judged. There is a day coming when God will judge sin and condemn sinners, like the judge who passes sentences the murderer to prison. Well, God will judge sin. Sin that is seen and sin that is unseen. All rebellion against him. One day he will judge sin, and that is bad news for us, isn't it? We're sinners. We're separated from God. We're sentenced to judgment. It's a sentence that is entirely fair and deserved because we've rejected God, and as Romans 3 said, we've gone our own way. Like sheep, the Bible says, we've wandered off. There's consequences. Separated from God and heading for judgment, that's bad news, isn't it? And you may be sitting here thinking, well, today was a joyful day 10 minutes ago. Very depressing. It's not just bad news, it's terrible news, isn't it? Of course you'd be wrong. But it's important that we get that straight, because it's against that terribly dark background that onto the scene bursts the good news of Jesus. And the glory of Jesus is seen more beautifully if we really grasp how bad the consequences of sin are. If we're separated from God and heading for judgment, then our deepest need is to be rescued, to have our sin dealt with, so that our relationship with God can be restored, that we can be freed from that sentence. And that is why the message of Jesus is good news. So that's why he came. He came to save sinners like you and me. He came to face the condemnation we deserve and to make us righteous in God's sight. That's what Paul, of course, said in Romans 3. In place of our sin, Jesus offers us righteousness. The righteousness we need in order to stand before God is given through faith in Jesus to all who believe. What does that passage say? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are made right with God freely by his grace, through the Lord Jesus. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. That means that the way that we're made right with God through the shedding of his blood, that's not just good news, is it? That's wonderful news. It's the news you and I need to hear. Our sin separates us from God and it condemns us. But in his grace and mercy, God sent Jesus to die on the cross as our sacrifice. His blood was shed to pay the price for our sin, that our sin which offends God might be dealt with, the barrier can be removed, the condemnation I deserve was faced by Jesus, and I face it no more. Jesus took my sin to the cross, and in exchange offers me righteousness. That's good news, isn't it? So you see, that is where our verse in the Song of Songs comes in. It describes what happens to us the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus. The moment we acknowledge our sin problem. The moment we trust in Jesus to be our Saviour through his death on the cross. The moment we receive that forgiveness for our sins. The moment we receive his gift of a righteousness we could not earn ourselves. That moment, something happens. Our sin is transferred to Jesus. And his perfect righteousness is given to us. We couldn't achieve that righteousness ourselves, no matter how hard we try. No matter how good we might think our lives are because of the problem of our hearts, but through faith in Jesus, there's an exchange that is made. So that when God looks upon me, he now sees not my dirty, sinful heart, but the perfect righteousness of the Jesus who died for me. That's the good news of Jesus. It's good news that is available for anyone who believes. It's there for you to believe. Yeah, that's the good news that Martin Luther believed 500 years ago. And he famously, as I say, explains that salvation using this verse. My beloved is mine and I am his. This verse, talking about a marriage, he uses it as a picture of salvation. My beloved is mine and I am his. It's a marriage made in heaven. Luther explained it with a story. He said there was once a king looking for a bride. And he chose for himself a poor, destitute, deformed prostitute. She had no loveliness or purity of her own, yet the king loved her and wanted her. And as their wedding day arrived, the king gave his bride a wedding ring of faith. And the very second he placed that ring on her finger, she became his queen. And they were united forever. They became one, and all that was his became hers. His love, his blessings, his possession, even his kingdom now belonged to her. Her bridegroom provided her with all of his good things. But it also meant, of course, that all that was hers became his. In the intimacy of that union, the king took upon himself all of her sin and debt and shame. And now this fallen woman, this impure bride, she's now a queen. She'd lived all of her life in sin, of course. She didn't know how to behave as a queen. Of course not. She was freed from her shame and debt by her marriage to the king. She was freed from her condemnation. She showered with wonderful blessings. Yet at the moment, her character was unchanged. But through that union with the king, through her marriage to him, her character no longer defined her. She was defined by her relationship to the king. Her status was changed. She is now the queen. And the longer she lives with the king, what's going to happen? She's going to become more queen-like. Nothing can make her any more of a queen than she is now, but as she lives with the king and experiences his love and his blessing day by day, she'll become more queenly. Do you see what Luther was saying through that story? That's what it is to become a Christian. We're like that wretched prostitute, full of sin and shame and spiritual death, yet we're loved by this king and him. And at that moment we believe it. It's like when that king put the ring on her finger. The moment we believe there's a divine exchange that takes place, all of our spiritual death and sin and shame is put onto Jesus. It's nailed to his cross, and all of his riches and blessings, his righteousness, become ours. We belong to him. And he belongs to us. That's what it means to belong to Jesus. Our sin and shame is taken by him and dealt with at the cross. He paid it all off. And he turns to us and gives us all that is his beauty, his righteousness, his family name, his kingdom. It's ours. My beloved is mine and I am his. All of my sin, past, present and the future sin, all dealt with by Jesus at the cross. And his perfect righteousness has been given to me. He lived a perfect life here on earth. He's the only person ever to have done so. And all of our righteousness is his gift to we who believe. My beloved is mine and I am his. So I have three questions for you this morning. If you're a believer, if you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, if you're seeking to follow him as Lord, three questions. Number one, do you delight to have Jesus? My beloved is mine, says the Song of Songs. Do you delight to have Jesus? Do you delight to have him as your Saviour, your Lord, your beloved one? Do you delight to have him in all his perfect righteousness? Okay, you might say, yes, I delight to have Jesus. But is he your greatest delight? Do you delight to have him more than anything or anyone else? Should be our joy, shouldn't it, to say he is mine. For in saying that, we declare not only that we love him, but that we believe in that divine exchange that took place at the cross. To have Jesus is to have his righteousness. Can you remember what it was like that moment you first believed? Some of you can. Maybe like me, you've grown up believing, as it were, and you struggle to pinpoint that moment that you did accept Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you can pinpoint the time and date, maybe you can't, but if you know Jesus, then you can say, my beloved is mine. Jesus is mine. All his is mine. All he did for me. He lives for me. That perfect life is considered mine. He dies for me. His death is considered mine. His death means that my sin is dealt with. He rose for me. His resurrection is counted as my resurrection to newness of life. All he is mine. And all he did for me. If you believe, you can say that. He is mine. Do you delight to have it more than anything else? You know, the hymn writer phrased it so wonderfully as he contemplated the beauty of having Jesus. That everything is different. Everything is made new, for in Christ we are made new. Listen to what the hymn writer said. He said, heaven above is softer blue. earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs are flown. Flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his, and he is mine. Do you delight in the blessing of knowing he is yours? Do you delight to have Jesus? My beloved is mine. Second question. You might know where we're going here. Second question. Do you delight to belong to Jesus? The idea of belonging is one that most people naturally shy away from. Maybe it conjures up images of the slave trade. We like to think that we're no one's slave, but we're our own person. That's the mantra of our society. I answer to no one. Even the fundamental idea of belonging to each other in marriage is generally ignored. People don't like the idea of belonging to someone else, do they? But for the Christian, oh, what a privilege and delight it is to belong to the Lord Jesus. In a sense, of course, we all belong to God anyway. He's our creator. We belong to him, for he made us. Yet Christians, those who have come to know Jesus as their own Savior, there is a wonderfully special sense in which we belong to him in a new and just even more intimate and wonderful way. Just as a bride and a groom on their wedding day belong to each other, so is a Christian and Jesus. Do you like to belong to him? What does that mean? Well, just as we thought a moment ago that all Jesus is now mine, all he did for me, in just the same way all I am now belongs to him. All I've done belongs to him. He owned my sin at the cross. All I've ever done, he's taken it. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. That's what it means to belong to Jesus. To know that your sin is dealt with. But it was taken to him, by him, to the cross, that the punishment we deserve has been paid in full. To belong to Jesus means that we can be confident that all of my sin has been dealt with. Confident that I am forever free from condemnation because I belong to him. If I were to trust myself, if I were to trust my own ability or my own goodness, then every time I sin, what would I do? Well, I'd have good reason to doubt whether I'd still get to heaven, wouldn't I? But if I belong to Jesus, I know I'm safe. Because all of mine is his. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I belong to him. It means that if we are in him, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, if we trust him as our Saviour, we're free from condemnation. Because even if I sin, my Jesus, he has not sinned. And all his is mine and mine is his. And so the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means, of course, that when I sin, which I do frequently, I must look to Jesus. And remember that he's dealt with that sin. He's given me his perfect righteousness. There are times when we all sin, we all fall short of God's standard. That's what Romans 3 says. And you know, the old devil, he never has any new tricks. He always does the same. And he taps you on the shoulder and tells us we ought to be ashamed. And he says, you think you're a Christian? Just look at yourself, Tim. Look at what you've just done. Do you really think Jesus would love someone like you? What did we sing earlier on? When faith tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, would I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin? Because my sin-less Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Do you delight in belonging to Jesus? Belonging to him is the greatest privilege, for he will shield us and cover us, and one day he'll take us to be with him because he loves us. Do you delight to belong to the King of Kings? Third and final question, do you delight in becoming like Jesus? Remember back to Martin Luther's story of the king that married the prostitute. On her wedding day, she becomes the queen, and she was, all her shame was taken by the king, yet she didn't instantly know how to act like a queen. She'd never been trained in the royal court. Up to that point, her life had been one of sin and shame and impurity. Isn't that the same with us? Our lives are dirty and shameful, yet when Jesus takes us as his own, he gives us his name. And as the queen lives with the king and becomes more queenly, just as that as we live day by day with Jesus, as we get to know him more and more through his word, we become more like him. That's God's great purpose for us. He's making us like his son. Isn't that an awesome thing to consider? He's working in you and me to make us more like Jesus. And one day we'll stand before him clothed in Jesus' own righteousness and we'll be like him. That's the great hope of Christianity. To be with Jesus and to be made like him in all his glory. But until that day comes, we're going through a period of process of refinement as God works in us by his Spirit through our union with the Lord Jesus to make us more like him. And you know, sometimes we know that is painful. As old sinful habits are dealt with. As God convicts us of sinful ways, as he shines the light of his word in the dark places of our hearts, as God chisels off those edges and cracks away at our hardened hearts. Boy, it's sometimes painful, isn't it? But isn't it a glorious thing to be made like Jesus? Do you delight in becoming more like Jesus? Believing friends, this morning be encouraged. Because you can say of Jesus, he is mine and I am his. He belongs to me and I belong to him. That brings such great assurance and certainty, doesn't it? Because nothing can change who you are in Jesus. Do you delight to have him? Do you delight to belong to him? Do you delight to become like him? But as we close, I just want to address those here who do not belong to Jesus. Who have not yet placed their trust in him. You may never really have thought about the message of the Bible or of your need to be saved. Or maybe on the other hand, you come to church regularly and you've heard this kind of thing time and time again and you've still not come to Jesus. And believe. Friends, may I challenge you this morning. There is no other way to get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus. We are unrighteous and unfit for heaven. Yet Jesus offers you the gift of forgiveness. The gift of his perfect righteousness. He offers you himself. And you can come to him. For he welcomes all who believe. And you too can know the delight of having Jesus, of belonging to Jesus, and of becoming like him. The King of Kings has given himself for us. And he calls us to come, defiled and impure as we are. The King of Kings has loved us. And he's given himself for us. And when we come to him, though we are still sinners, our status before God is defined not by our sin, but by whether we belong to Jesus. And as his bride, we can say with utter confidence, he is mine, and I am. Shall we pray again? Lord God, our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Son, who loves us and has bought us by his blood. We thank you and we praise you for him. We thank you for the awesome privilege that we can say we belong to him and he belongs to us. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of knowing that you're working in us to make us more like him. Help us, we pray, to delight more and more in belonging to Jesus. Help us to delight more and more in having him as our Saviour. Help us to delight more and more in becoming like him. Though it is painful, we ask that you would make that our delight. For Jesus' sake. Amen.